الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will have message number 13 of the Messages of Hope, and the title of the class is The Greatest Blessing in Life. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the characters of those who have the white hearts. That is to say, those believers whom they have the sound, soft, united and comfort hearts. As we learned last week, that the most important character for those believers is the realization and remembrance of Allah's blessings. As this character is the fundamental base for the rest of the characters of those whom they are looking to have white hearts. We learned last week some of the laws of blessings from the Holy Quran. The first law which we learned was actually from Surah number 16, verse number 53. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. And whatever of blessings and good things you have, it is from Allah. The second law which we learned last week is that وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نَعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you count the blessings of Allah, never will you be able to count them. The third law which we learned last week is that أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. See you not, O men, that Allah has subjected for you whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth, and has completed and perfected his graces upon you, both apparent and hidden. Try always to look up to the heavens to realize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rain, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Try to look down to see the river, the sea, the plants, the trees, the fruits, the flowers, the vegetables, the animals, and the mountains. Also look to yourself to realize that you have eyes, ears, nose, mouth, arms, legs, brain, and heart. And also look around you to see your family and your friends, the love, belonging, mercy and affection. All around are Allah's blessings. But the greatest blessing in life is the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will read now about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 254, Ayat Al-Kursi. The Ayat al-Kursi is Surah al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 255. And actually this is the greatest verse of the Quran, because it mentions the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa. None has right to be worshipped but He. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes Him. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them in this world and what will happen to them in the hereafter. And they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. His mercy extends over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. And he is the Most High, the Most Great.
Actually, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows everything about his creatures, and Allah knows what will happen to all of them in the hereafter. Actually, we will also know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Ikhlas. Surah Al-Ikhlas is Surah number 112, the purity of faith. Because actually this is the surah which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites every day in the sunnah of the Fajr prayer to start his day with say he is Allah the one. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Allah, the One, Allah us-Samad, Allah the self-sufficient master, whom all creatures need. He neither eats nor drink, he begets not, nor was he begotten, and there is none co-equal or comparable unto him.
Actually, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the absolute. He has no assistant, no rivals. He has continuous unity. He has no equal, and nothing is like to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord, the planner, the provider, the decider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master, the self-sufficient, whom all the creatures are in need of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who doesn't give birth, nor was he born, because there is nothing comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the power. Allah is the only one power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, only one who has the true existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of the mercy on the earth. And in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deep rooted, permanent and everlasting in the spirit of every believer. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we must know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to start off his prayer reciting this surah in Fajr prayer, because it is the daily declaration of the faith, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of believer, of the path of life of the believer. There is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest blessing for the life of the believer. This what I will clarify now in the next sketch.
On the prayer, yeah,
the belief in the oneness of Allah is the greatest blessing in life, because it provides you with the whole truth regarding the whole universe. Number one, the first question which you must ask yourself, whom am I? Okay, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clarify to you this truth. Number one, according to the first question which you will ask yourself, whom you are, you will answer, I am a human being who shares the same parents with all the humans. This fact you will know it from surah number 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 1. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, Adam, and from him he created his wife, Hawa, or Eve, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand, and do not cut the relations of the womb, kinship. Surely Allah is ever all watcher over you.
So number one, the first fact in my life is that I am a human being, I am part of this humanity, and all of us share the same parents, Prophet Adam and his wife. Number two, I am a Muslim believer belonging to the nation of believers, which started from Prophet Nuh, and it will continue until the Day of Judgment, inshallah, to know about your roots as a believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will read from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 136. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, O Muslims, we believe in Allah and that which has to us and that which has been sent down to Ibrahim, Ishmael, Isaac, Yaqub, and to Al-Asbat, the offspring of the 12 sons of Yaqub, or Jacob, and that which has been given to Musa, Moses, and Isa, Jesus, and that which has been given to the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and to him we have submitted in Islam.
Yes. You see? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad and to all the whoever will read the Quran. Allah is saying, say, O Muslims, we believe in Allah and that which has been sent down to us and sent down to Ibrahim, Ismail, and all the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that we believers in the oneness of Allah, we have our roots deep in the history from Prophet Nuh, and inshallah up to the Day of Judgment, we are all, alhamdulillah, the same nation of believers in the oneness of Allah. Again, I will, when I want to know about myself through the belief in the oneness of Allah, I will realize that I am living in peace with all the creations of the universe, as they all believe in Allah and prostrate to their Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will read about the prostration of all the creations in the heavens and earth to Allah the One from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, from verse number 48 to verse number 50. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولم يروا إلى ما خلق الله من شيء يتفيأ ظلاله عن اليمين والشمائل سجدا لله وهم داخرون ولله يسجد ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من دابة والملائكة وهم لا يستكبرون يخافون ربهم من فوقهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Have they not observed things that Allah has created, how their shadows incline to the right and to the left, making prostration unto Allah, and they are lowly? And to Allah prostrate all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, of the moving, living creatures and the angels, and they are not proud. They fear their Lord above them, and they do what they are commanded.
Actually, We Muslim believers in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are living a life of harmony with all the creations of the universe and with all the human beings because we all belong to the one Allah, the creator of everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one to whom all the creations prostrate. So now, alhamdulillah, I know that I am a human being and I am a believer and I am living in the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in peace with all the creation. So the next question, which I will know its answer from the belief in the oneness of Allah, is what is this worldly life and what is its nature? In order to know the answer of these two questions, we will read first about what is this worldly life. We will read from Surah number 67, verse number 1 and 2. Surah Al-Mulk, 67. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Blessed be he in whose hand is the dominion, and he is able to do all things, who has created death and life, that he may test you which of you is best indeed, and he is the Almighty, the Oft-Forgiving.
According to this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to every one of us that we are created in this life so that Allah may test us and so that it will be known who is the best indeed. It will be our deeds, the proof of our reality on the Day of Judgment, so that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform every one of us about his eternal destination and eternal life, it will be up to the proof of our deeds, which we are aware of and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually clarified to us its importance in the Quran. So I am created in this life to be in a test, to prove my reality through my deeds. The next question is, what is the nature of this worldly life? In order to know the nature of this worldly life, from the words of the creator of this worldly life, we will read from Surah Al-Hadid, Surah number 57, verse number 20. Now we will read about the nature of the worldly life from Surah number 50, verse number 20. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Know that life of this world is only play and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. It is as the likeness of vegetation after rain. Thereof the growth is pleasing to the tiller. Afterwards it dries up, and you see it turning yellow. Then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter there is a severe torment for the disbelievers, evildoers, and there is forgiveness from Allah and His good pleasure for the believers and good doers. And the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment.
Again and again, sisters, this truth must be clear to every believer. And this is the blessing of the belief in the oneness of Allah, that you know the real truth about the worldly life, about yourself, and about all the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, is clarifying to us the nature of this worldly life so that it will not deceive us. If I realize that this worldly life is only a deceiving enjoyment, it will not be my goal to enjoy a deceiving enjoyment, but my goal will be to play the role which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me in this worldly life. Again and again, sisters, if you look around you, you will be actually sure that this verse of the Quran is what we are living in reality in our worldly life. It is the world of play, a mutual posting among people, and everyone is after the wealth and the children. But unfortunately, most of the human beings, they just try to concentrate on what I am getting from the worldly life when I have the health and the wealth and the children. But they don't extend their vision to the second part of the worldly life when they become old and they start to lose their power and they become weak and then they die. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the example of the plant, when the plant actually is having the rain, it will be growing and it will be in a good shape, then gradually it will turn to yellow and gradually it will die. So again and again, sister, this is our life on the earth. We must realize this fact and this rule so that inshallah we will not deceive ourselves. We will not live only for the worldly life. We will not only having our goals related to the deceiving enjoyments of the worldly life. We must remember that on the day of judgment there is a severe torment. Okay, for the evil doers. We are actually always learning about the Muslims. If a Muslim is not obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the Muslim is not living Islam as a way of life, if a Muslim is always a sinner, he is an evil doer obeying the shaitan, Satan, so he will have a severe torment on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about the hellfire, how long he will stay in the hellfire. This what we are supposed to reflect on, our dear sisters. Not only to wake up in the morning just thinking of what, how I will enjoy my day today. How I will enjoy the deceiving enjoyment. How I will deceive myself. When you look around you, you notice that actually this is the rule nowadays. Everyone is trying to deceive herself about the enjoyments, okay? And in reality, most of the people nowadays are on antidepressant, or they hate life, or they are not having a peaceful life. They are mostly sad, or worried, or upset, or confused, or lonely. Why? Because they are deceiving themselves, because they are under the impression, if I will not enjoy the enjoyment of the worldly life, I am a big loser. The truth is that you are a big loser if you deceive yourself and you live only for the deceiving enjoyments of the worldly life. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is teaching us these realities and these facts in the Quran. So that when I look around me and I notice that 99% of the Muslims are deceiving themselves, living for the worldly enjoyment, I will tell to myself, never ever, this is not my way in life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with the greatest blessing in life. I am a believer in the oneness of Allah. I am living with the words of Allah, which Allah sent to us in the Quran. Allah warned us in the Quran about the enjoyment of the worldly life and gave us the clear example in surah number 57, verse number 20. So I will not ever follow those whom they are deceiving themselves. Inshallah, I will be living my life to actually to do the rule which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me for. So the next question which we will answer is, what is my rule as a believer in the oneness in of Allah in this worldly life? This we will know it from surah number 2, verse number 30. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم And remember when your Lord said to the angels, Verily, I am going to place a vice-regent on the earth. They said, Will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood? While we glorify you with praises and thanks and sanctify you, He, Allah, said, I know that which you do not know.
Actually, this is the rule of every believer on the earth to be a vice regent in charge of a responsibility on the earth. This responsibility, inshallah, I will clarify it to every one of us. When we will read from surah number 39, verse number 11, surah Az-Zumar, to know about your responsibility on the earth. بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين
Say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Verily I am commanded to worship Allah alone by obeying Him and doing religious deeds sincerely for His sake only.
Okay, so sisters, actually this is the rule for every one of us to know her responsibility and how she is supposed to live this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all who are following Prophet Muhammad, that is to say the true believers in the oneness of Allah, they are commanded to worship Allah alone by obeying Him and doing the religious deeds sincerely for His sake. So accordingly, sisters, this is actually your rule in life. Your rule in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually we clarify it in the classes of worshiping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that to do all the deeds in your life and all the sayings for the sake of, number one, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is to say with sincerity. This means that all my deeds and all my sayings are only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am looking for the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my rule in life. How to apply this to every one of us? For example, for me as a woman, okay, Muslim woman, my rule in this life is to actually to have a family, okay, and to raise my kids, because this is my responsibility, okay, to raise my kids to become Muslims, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how I am obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I raise my kids, okay, and I actually spend all my time, my health, my wealth, for the sake of raising these kids, I must have the intention that all of this is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sincerity. I am not raising them so that I will be proud my son is so and so, or I am raising them so that when they will grow up, I will tell them take care of me, or I will always remind them with what I did for them. This is all wrong. I am raising them only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I am commanded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise my kids. This is the rule of the Muslim woman in life. If I can do that rule, this means that, alhamdulillah, I I am successful in doing my role, the role which Allah created for me. Okay, this is for actually every Muslim woman. It must be clear in the mind of everyone. Your role is not to be a physician. Your role is not to be an engineer. Your role is number one, to be a Muslim woman, a Muslim wife, and a Muslim mother, so that inshallah through your life, inshallah, and through your effort and through your care, you can supply life with believers in the oneness of Allah, women and men, so that inshallah the belief in the oneness of Allah will be always on the earth. This is regarding the Muslim woman. Regarding the Muslim man, it is his responsibility actually to support his family through his work, so that inshallah there will be always a successful Muslim family. Again and again, sister, life in Islam has a unit which is the Muslim family. This is the most important unit in Islam. If the Muslim family is actually a true Muslim family, this means that the members of the family are believers in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living their life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, the actually Muslim community will be the successful one, and inshallah the belief in the oneness of Allah will be always there, and it will be always evaluated as the greatest blessing in life. But if we Muslims, Muslim mother, forget completely about raising the kids for the sake of Allah or teaching them about the oneness of Allah, and also the husband is only after the wealth, whether halal or haram, it will be our situation which we are living nowadays. None is appreciating the greatest blessing in life, the belief in the oneness of Allah, except very little people. You agree or not?
Alhamdulillah, I very much agree.
Yesterday one of the things that we were discussing is that, and that my friend, when I told her, she said, "Oh, I didn't know, you know, that's not right," that she actually told me right then and there, is that I was saying that I didn't want to have children right away. I said, I'm studying, and you know, I want to wait at least 4, maybe 5 years before I have children. And then she got upset, and then she said, "So what you want? Why do you want to get married?" She said, "Then you want just a halal boyfriend." And I said, "No, that's not what I want. What I want is a husband. And for me, to get married is to have a partner, and children are a blessing, and children are as a result." But it's not why you get married. It's a result, and it's part of the marriage, but it's not the reason for getting married. You don't get married just to have children. You get married to have a partner, to have that...
No, but I want to clarify to you. Can you give me the reply? Just to clarify to you, you know, in Islam, you marry to have a family, okay? And you have a rule in life. Your rule in life is a wife and a mother. Okay? You cannot actually, you know, just I'm clarifying to you, you know, this truth. You cannot marry and say for 5 years I will not have kids. This is not accepted in Islam, you know. If the reason is that because, for example, you are sick, or you have, you know, a very big financial problem that you cannot raise the kids, you know, that's accepted. But to delay having children because you want to study and you want a career, you want so and so, this is not the rules of Islam. You know, the rule of Islam is that you are marrying to start your actually responsibility in life. Your responsibility in life is to have a Muslim family. You are, as a mother, you are the one raising the future. You know, the future is the kids. You know, so you are the one taking care of the kids. This is the future of Islam. If the mother is a true believer in the oneness of Allah, so the future of Islam will be excellent. If the mother is busy with her studying and going out and her, you know, whatever, not you, but you know, whatever going on, this is what we are having now, a generation of kids mostly unaware of their identity. They don't know whom they are. Why? Because their mother doesn't know whom she is. Their mother doesn't realize her role. Again and again, as a revered sister, I must clarify to you this. In Islam, the man has a rule and the woman has a rule. Okay? The rule of the man is to work and to support the family. The rule of the woman is to take care of her husband and of her family and to raise the kids. Believers in the oneness of Allah, this is rule number one for the woman in Islam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the struggle of the woman is inside her home, when she will actually face all the problems and she will try her best through her time, through her health, through, you know, her effort to raise the kids. This is the most important, you know, in Islam. So again and again, you know, to delay having kids 4 or 5 years, I will ask you the question which is always mentioned at that point. Are you sure that after 5 years you can have kids? No one is sure. So what will be the situation if now, for example, you are 25 years old, then after 5 years you will be 30 years old, then at that time you decide according to your plan to have kids, unfortunately you discover that you cannot have kids. For example, what will be the situation at that time? And someone will tell you, if you go to the gynecologist, he will tell you, why you didn't know your situation from day one in marriage so that we can start the treatment 5 years ago. It will take long time now and whatever, you know. This is why, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make the rule, okay, we must follow it. The rule is to be a wife and a mother. Okay, for the sake, not only for the sake, not for the sake of the worldly life, as we read in the verse, this verse of the Quran in Surah 57, verse number 20, to have a lot of kids and wealth. No, to have kids believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so this is for you now. So she wants, then I will give you. Clarify, lamb is with education of the mother. If you are an educated mother, okay, you cannot raise the kids, okay, believing in the oneness of Allah. Because belief in the oneness of Allah depends on the belief in the heart and reflection of the mind, okay? But what level of education you are looking for, okay? Because if all the Muslim men will be looking for PhD, okay, which you can have it at the age of 32 or 33, okay, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows they will have kids or not. Because after the age of 35, okay, you know this because I was a pediatrician and mainly a neonatologist, okay, after the age of 35, you must be aware of the congenital anomalies of the babies, okay? So this is why in Islam, you must get children as early as possible when you marry. As soon as you marry, get your children. Don't delay having children because of the congenital anomalies. And actually, I worked for 8 years in the neonatal intensive care unit, and it was always clear that because of the delay of the age of pregnancy, there were a lot of congenital anomalies.
First of all, I'm 22. I think if I wait 5 years old, if I wait 5 years,
so I tell you, so wait for marriage until being 26. If you want to wait for, you know, having children, because this is your point of view. Suppose your husband wants kids. Why he has to wait for 5 years? You know, and according to Islam, okay, the rule of the family is to have kids. So if you say, if your point of view is to hold on regarding the kids for 5 years, and he have different point of view, I want to have kids now, as soon as we marry. And if you go to the sheikh in the masjid, he will tell you, obey your husband.
But that's why she has to talk to her.
You see?
They have to,
but first of all, a woman who...
You know, this is an important point, no? It's, you know, it is always that we put the worldly life number one, you know, before obeying the commands of Allah. In reality, it is not you, you know, it is not me. It is, you know, the way of thinking of the people. You know, this is how we are thinking, all of us. You know why? Because we forget the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is trying to learn the rules of the Quran? Who is trying to live the rules of the Quran? By time, people forget about the rules of the Quran. You will realize this when you will live with the Muslim. So when anyone will discuss with you any problem, he will discuss it with you mainly from the point of view related to the worldly life. Okay, this is the reality of me and of everyone. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with the true belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be immediately trying to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it looks different and it looks difficult, okay, and as Noor is saying, you know, people will say, you know, that woman, she just married and she has kids and the kids are making her life very difficult, again and again. The belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the confidence that I am obeying what Allah is commanding me will make it very easy for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always making an outlet for the true believer. But we all put the Quran aside and we all decide rules for our life. Okay? And this is the problem of our life nowadays. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to tell you now when I am 56. Obey Allah
That's
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Age has
you see?
A lot to do.
Yes.
Now I don't think like when I was 24.
I agree with you.
She's only 22.
And because of that, you know, I am giving you this advice, you know, because you are a new Muslim. Have full trust that whatever Allah is commanding us is the best for us. This is the test of the worldly life. You see? To follow. What most of us are following regarding planning life according to what I need in the worldly life or obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the full confidence that this is the best because this is the rules of the Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Creator of everything. Allah is not in need of the belief of anyone, but just Allah is guiding us in the test. Whoever Allah loves will make this guidance easy for his or her spirit. Okay? But what we are all living nowadays, that the guidance and the rules of Allah are very difficult for us because the mercy of Allah is not touching our hearts. When you feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be so happy and actually you will be so pleased just to obey what Allah is commanding you. And the rest, it's only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can marry a very good man and you can delay the kids for 2 to 3 years. Maybe he will be upset after 3 years, then he will decide to know anyone or to marry another one. Okay, and if you lose him, okay, you cannot say because he is selfish or he doesn't agree. Because we didn't obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Marriage, you know, is a company for two persons to have the third one, that is the kid. And I want to tell you one thing, most of the families are continuous because of the kids. Okay? Those whom they don't have kids, by time, they are far away from each other. The kids are a very important element for the stability of the family. Okay? Inshallah, now the last key, how the belief in Allah's oneness can provide the believer with the comfort, peace and security. The answer will be in two surahs of the Quran. The first one is surah number 57, verse number 22 and 23. And then inshallah we will know about the second one. We will read now about the way to have peace, comfort and security through the belief in the oneness of Allah from surah number 57 verse number 22 and 23. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but it is inscribed in the book of the decrees. Before we bring it into existence, verily, that is easy for Allah. In order that you may not grieve at the things that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you, and Allah likes not prideful boasters.
You see, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that everything in your life was already recorded by Allah 50,000 years before its creation. And this will give you the feeling of the total submission to Allah's decree. Okay? Don't be happy when, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, don't be happy when you have that you have something was given to you. Don't be so happy or too happy, or don't rejoice over that which has been given to you, and don't grieve at that which you fail to get. Why? Because everything was already recorded 50,000 years before its creation. There is no way to change anything. As a believer in the oneness of Allah, I must accept all His decree, being thankful for Him because of the next rule, which I will end the class with. This must be the rule of the believer in the oneness of Allah, the acceptance of Allah's decree. We will read now from Surah number 9, verse number 51. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, nothing shall ever happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our Mawla, Lord, Helper and Protector. And in Allah let the believers put their trust.
See, sisters, actually I want you to reflect on this verse of the Quran, because inshallah it will be a source of comfort, peace and reassurance for every believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to every one of us to say, nothing shall ever happen to me except what Allah, has ordained for me. What is the meaning for this, sister? The meaning for this is that He is the one. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is related to my decree. My decree is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because only what Allah decreed for me, only Allah. Okay? What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if there is a wife whom her husband is all the time warning her, I will divorce you, I will not give you money, I will not give you a kiss, I will throw you back, I will do, she must tell to herself, he is just a handful of dust. The only one who can who has the rule in this life is Allah, and nothing, as Allah tell me, she has to answer him saying, nothing shall ever happen to me except what Allah, and not you, and not any human being. Okay, this is related to the wife. If the boss in your work will tell you, if you will not obey my orders, I will fire you, or I will, you tell to yourself, nothing shall ever happen to me except what Allah, and not you, my boss, my kid, my husband, anyone on the earth cannot do for me anything. I am a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the power and who has the will in this worldly life. And because of being a believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending for you this glad tiding, and in Allah let the believers, not anyone, only the believers, let the believers put their trust. Alhamdulillah, this is my rule in life. As a believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, in Allah, Allah is giving me a glad tiding in the Quran. He is telling me, put your trust in me. All praise to Allah. I am putting my trust in Allah, the power, the will, the mercy on the earth. All praise to Allah. I don't fear anyone. I don't actually have any feeling of worry, upset, or sadness, because I put my trust in the one who is controlling everything. He is commanding me and sending to me this message because I am a believer in his oneness. Try to have this rule in your life, okay? And whenever you face any problem, whenever you face anyone who is trying to pressurize you, whenever you are in any hardship, tell to yourself, I don't fear anything. Whatever Allah has ordained for me, inshallah, will be the best for me because Allah commanded me to put the trust in him. Inshallah, next week we will continue to learn more about the blessings of the belief in the oneness of Allah, the best blessing in life, and let us make the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد آله وصحبه وسلم او الله our lord inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil او الله our lord cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us او الله our lord controller of the hearts keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.